Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Giannis and the Bucks came roaring back last night with a 120-100 win over the Suns Game 3. Giannis dropped 41 points. He grabbed 13 rebounds while also going 13 of 17 from the free throw line. Chris Paul and Devin Booker were kept in check by the Milwaukee defense, scoring only a combined 29 points while shooting 18% from three. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us now. Chris, what is your biggest takeaway from this game? Bucks getting it done.
That Giannis Antetokounmpo is a problem. He's a monster. And he played last night like I've been wanting him to play all season long, if not going back further than that. And that was he played to his strengths. One of Giannis's big problems is that he often plays to his weaknesses and shoots some threes, shoots a bunch of mid-range jump shots. Last night, he played to his strengths, which was dominating the paint. Only five of his 23 shots came outside of the paint, and two of those were like on the low block just outside of the paint. All 28 of his points that didn't come from the free throw line came in the paint. His average shot was 2 feet. The distance on his average shot was 2 feet. Like, he was dominant. And the thing about Giannis that makes him so effective there is he doesn't just have to post up like, say, Shaq did. He can post. He obviously can get it off putbacks, off offensive rebounds. He can cut or dive. He can pick and roll for passes from teammates. He can get there in transition with the Euro step. Like, he has so many ways to get to the rim that he just needs to keep doing it. And last night, he did that. Obviously, that was a big reason why he got to the foul line 17 times. Him hitting 13 of them. I want to say something about that. Obviously, an aberration, all right? It's only the second time in his 61 playoff games that he's ever had 10 or more free throw attempts and made more than 75% of them. That said, I think this speaks to Giannis's mental toughness. The fact that he will keep drawing fouls, the fact that he's not shying away from contact. This is a dude that not only misses free throws, he airballs free throws, like, frequently. Like, sometimes twice a game, he'll shoot an air ball. That is incredibly embarrassing for one of the best players in the world, a two-time MVP, but he doesn't care. He keeps attacking, and he's going to have a night occasionally like he did last night. So to me, that's mental toughness. We saw what happened with Ben Simmons. But his aggressiveness, it's what got DeAndre Ayton to some degree in foul trouble. Ayton's fourth foul was on Giannis. That got him out of the game early in the third quarter. And, you know, Ayton, who had 16 points, was dominant in the first half, wasn't able to do anything else in the second half going forward. So Giannis, to me, this whole game was about Giannis. Even early, guys, four of his six assists in the first quarter, he got Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, great layups and dunks at the rim through with nice passes. He got Drew Holiday an open three in transition early, and Holiday obviously was able to get in the rhythm from there. So this was all about Giannis to me.
Let me ask you a question. Now, we saw Giannis play equally as well. So if Holiday came into the game shooting 31% from the field, shooting 14% from the three-point line. So if Holiday doesn't shoot 57% and 50% from the three, even if Giannis has that game, you think they win?
No, I mean, you need contributions.
So
you know, from Middleton
that's where I went.
Holiday later, but
I went with Middleton and Holiday because we have seen Giannis. Giannis was averaging 31 and 15. Giannis really couldn't do any more unless his other guys came along. He needed to get what CP3 was getting from Booker and Ayton, what he was getting from Booker and Bridges. That's what Giannis needed from Middleton and Holiday. And what we've seen right on cue, what happens, Chris, when they're on the road, they're so-so. When they come home, they're world beaters. Giannis is going to be a world beater regardless because he's Giannis. He's a superstar. He's one of the five best players in the NBA. So he's going to be him. But what you also need is your guys that you count on the regular, which is Holiday and Middleton, is to be that. And they were that last night. Can they be that again in game four? Just think about this, Chris. Holiday was shooting 14% from the three. He shot 50% last night. He was shooting 31% from the floor. He shot 57% last night. So he's going to have to continue that. Now, they're going to have to slow down, Giannis. You can't keep letting him get 40-plus and 15 rebounds, or you're probably going to lose because all he needs now is one other guy because Middleton is due for a breakout game. Middleton is due for an efficient 25-30-point game. And if you pair that with Giannis, you're going to have your hands full. But I thought the biggest reason Giannis was Giannis, but Giannis was great in game two. He didn't get any help from Holiday and Middleton. He got help from Portis and Connaughton also. But I thought those two guys were really key in them winning. Mm.
My turn. So to Chris's first point, last night, Giannis scored all 14 of his field goals within 5 feet or less of the basket. That hasn't happened for somebody scoring over 30 points in the game for the last 25 years in the NBA. Well, okay, so Giannis did what Giannis can do if you allow him to do that.
Yes.
What have we heard going back 2 years ago to Toronto? How did Toronto stop Giannis and beat him 4 straight times after they went up the Bucks 2-0? They built a wall. Mm-hmm. What happened last year? Miami built a wall in the first 3 games against Giannis and won all 3, and then he got hurt, but they were pretty much down and out already.
Yeah, they were down 3-0 anyway.
Correct. So I was so disappointed. It was a collision of issues last night for the visiting team because, first of all, Scott Foster shows up, and we've talked and talked about it, Chris. You haven't heard this, but Scott Foster does get inside Chris Paul's head. And last night, I thought he got inside Phoenix's, got under their skin because Giannis did shoot 17 free throws to 16 total for the Phoenix Suns. And Scott Foster and Chris Paul have a long and bloody history going back and forth at each other. And Chris is now 0-12 in playoff games, refereed as the head referee by Scott Foster. So it didn't help that Scott Foster quickly got DeAndre Ayton in foul trouble, and Ayton wound up playing only 5 minutes in the second half and scoring only 2 points. Well, I fault Monty Williams. I'm a big fan of Monty, but I think he got full of himself, got carried away with the fact that his young emerging star 7-footer can guard Giannis. Not if Scott Foster is refereeing, because probably not if I'm refereeing or Shannon's refereeing, because it's just hard to guard him by yourself.
Right.
So they have not tried to build a wall. And Chris Paul said in his postgame last night, somehow, some way, we have to build a wall. Well, you better, and you better start in game four. This thing's going to turn wildly around, mm-hmm. and you're going to be up against it because you're allowing Giannis to score, what's he averaged, 40 points the last 2 games.
He's like 35
a game for these 3 games.
Yeah.
You're not going to win that way. This is how you stop him. You get him frustrated early, and you force him into shooting jump shots that he can't shoot or three-pointers that he really can't shoot.
Right.
And, again, some nights he's going to get hot-handed from the free-throw line. He's had streaks. He was shot 75% in this league. I got that. But conversely, what I didn't see coming last night was that Devin Booker would go farther south than Phoenix is from Milwaukee because he's such a great shooter. And now we've 2 out of 3 games, game one and game three, he's shot it
poorly,
like shockingly poorly. And last night was so bad that Monty Williams benched him for the whole fourth quarter. I took exception to it. I thought you put unfortunately and unwittingly, you put Devin on even more of a 72-hour hot seat because now everybody's focused on Devin Booker is cold and you got to get him out of his slump. And I didn't think Monty helped him if he just let the game play out. Maybe he'd gotten a couple of looks and made a couple of shots right. and felt better going into game four. But the point is, they go as Devin Booker goes. So their formula for victory is Devin Booker has to make some early shots and they have to take the lead and they have to build a wall and get Giannis frustrated. He hyperventilates early in games. Mm-hmm. And he hyperventilated last night and they had to pull him out for a couple of minutes early in the game because he's so amped that he can barely breathe. And I've never seen a superstar like that. And then to back to Chris's theory that it was all about Giannis last night. So obviously, Phoenix goes up 6 in the second quarter, and all of a sudden, the home team goes on a 16-3 run to close out the half. Giannis scored 2 of those 16 points. Third quarter, Phoenix cuts it all the way back to 4. And then what happens? A 24-6 run happens, and Drew Holiday scores or assists on 22 of the 24. So it wasn't about Giannis in either of those runs. He scores a lot of baskets that aren't the basket, but it's hard to overcome 41 points.
Yeah.
And it's hard to overcome the fact that he got your center in such deep foul trouble that he contributed 2 points in the second half. So collision, harmonic inconvergence of bad variables equaled a bad night for the visiting team.
Well, it's going to be a long series, Chris. If you keep letting Milwaukee get 80, 25, and 20 assists from their big three, we going for a long series. If they let that happen, because it was just the flip side of the 1 and 2, because Chris Paul, Booker, and Ayton got 81, and then Chris Paul, Booker, and Bridges got 80-plus in game 2. Well, it was the flip side. And if you let Giannis get off like this, and he get Holiday and Middleton to come along with him, because we saw this. All this is a reoccurring theme of what happened against the Nets. Everybody thought it was over. They got beat by, 39 in game 2? And it's over. And Milwaukee came home. They won a close 3. They won really good game 4. KD had a historic, game 5. They won game 6 and went back. With a superstar in a game 7, Chris, I'm going to lean toward the superstar because he can win you one game with winner take all because he's very capable of going to get another 40-plus. 15 rebounds with 6-7 assists.
He's going to have at least one more 40-point game.
Yes.
I think he might have 2. I mean, they can't stop him. And I think, Skip, last night he was in the paint and he wasn't just revving up, from the perimeter. That's where the wall's effective. He did it occasionally, but for the most part, they were starting him low. Or, he was setting a pick for a guy. Or that's how you combat the wall. So I think they have to be careful. If he's on the top of the key and he's revving up and he's going to drive, that's where the wall will be effective. But I also think the benefit of having him down low is that frees up the perimeter for Middleton and Holiday. So I think that's one of the things that enabled them to get going as well. So, Milwaukee, Shannon, you've been saying it all postseason. They just need to play to their strength.
That's it.
They dominated the paint last night. You don't need to take as many threes. You can shoot the threes off of your interior dominance, and that's a more effective way to do that. So, I thought that's what they did last night.
Mm. Well, so, in the end, Chris, what's your gut feeling about game 4?
I'm leaning, I know we got 2 more days to talk about it and make a prediction, but I'm leaning Milwaukee. I picked Phoenix in 6. I'm leaning Milwaukee in game 4, and then Phoenix closes them out in the next 2. Mm. I know if they win game 4, I know everybody will be saying Milwaukee's in control and they think they'll win the series, but I think that's how it's going to play out.
So my biggest concern right now for the visiting team is Devin Booker. I don't know how you felt about it, but I thought Monty Williams, who obviously knows Devin Booker a lot better than I do, but I thought he mishandled that situation at the end of the game by benching him for its late third and then all the way through the fourth quarter. The spotlight now is on Devin Booker, and I know he's a tough kid, and he bounces back with big games after poor games, but he's never been in a finals before. And now, instead of letting him find some rhythm in the fourth quarter in a blowout, you've You've just put him in mothballs. You've forced him to sit at the end of the bench and have ABC just go solo shot after solo shot of what's wrong with Devin Booker. And that will be the story of the next 3 days, because you got to wait, obviously, 3 days until you play again. So I'm concerned, because they need Devin to come out hot in game four. They're going to lose because they do go as he goes. And you can only expect Chris Paul to have a hot hand here and there. Right. And he had one in game six and then turned right out in game one and still had it. Got off to a fairly good start last night and then just faded into the, so to speak, sunset. So now I'm concerned about Devin Booker going into game four.
Well, I think, Skip, like you said, if he's had a poor game, poor shooting game every series. Again, all the three previous series, and he's always bounced back to have like 25 or more points when he comes off one of those poor shooting games. So I do think, look, we all know he tries to follow Kobe. He wants the Mamba mentality and all that. I do think he's mentally tough enough to put this game behind him. You know, we in the media, we focus on momentum. I think the players look at it as it's a new game. Every single game is its own entity. That's why I think we see such fluctuations from game to game. We think, oh, Atlanta's in control, and then Milwaukee wins the next game. You know, so I don't think the players believe in the momentum within a series nearly as much as we focus on it. So I think you'll be all right. No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place. Whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thursday on FS1, the U.S. men's national team has a big group stage battle against Martinique in the Gold Cup. It all kicks off Thursday, 9:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Well, down 22 heading into the fourth quarter, Monty Williams benched Devin Booker for the remainder of the game. The Suns guard had just 10 points on 3 of 14 shooting at that point. So Chris Broussard still with us. Chris, I want to start with you. Do you have a problem with Monty benching Booker for the fourth quarter here?
I don't. And what I think happened is that, this is my personal feeling, is that Monty, he took him out like the last minute, about 48 seconds left, I think, in the third quarter. And I think he was going to sit him to start the fourth and see if the Suns, you know, if they rally and pull within striking distance, maybe he'll get Book back in. They were down 23 to start the fourth quarter. But if you notice in that fourth quarter, Monty took out DeAndre Ayton 3 minutes into the fourth. And then he took out Mikal Bridges like 20 seconds, not even 20 seconds later. So he took those two guys out early in the fourth as well, and they never played again. So I think Monty was like, this is, look, this is not our night. This is just, Chris Paul came out 5.5 minutes into the fourth, and that was it. They never made the run where I think he would have put Devin back in to see if he could help them get going and maybe overcome the deficit. So I think it was more that than a straight-up benching. You know, sometimes coaches will punish their starters by leaving them in throughout a blowout. You know, Monty obviously didn't do that. So I think you could have looked at it if he had thrown Devin in there with like 7 minutes left in the game and they're down 20-something, it could. Some players don't like that, you know, because you're like, why are you throwing me in garbage time or something like that? So I don't think it was a big deal. I will say this. I'm surprised that no one really asked them, Monty and Devin, directly about it after the game. Because even if you don't think it was a huge deal like me, you still should ask the question because it may have been a benching. I don't think it was. But that's my take on it, is that the game just got so far out of hand that he felt no reason to throw Devin back in.
I agree with you, Chris, and I think you asked the question, Devin, are you okay? And then Devin's going to say, yeah, why wouldn't I be? Well, we noticed you didn't play any of the fourth quarter. You just, you know, just asking what was going on. But I agree with you, and this is what I told Skip earlier, is that I thought Monty thought, like, okay, I'm going to give Devin his start, you know, start Devin on the bench in the fourth quarter, and I'm going to see if my backups can make a run. If they can get this thing to 10 to 12, and as soon as they get it to 10 to 12, Bud's going to call a timeout. I'm going to get booked. I'm going to get the guys back in there. And then we try to make another push at this thing. But once they couldn't get any closer than, what, 18, 19, he's like, oh, hell, what, we'll just wait. Because he did play 40-plus minutes the other night in game two, Skip. So he's like, I'm going to save some wear and tear on his legs. He doesn't have it tonight. But, hey, I believe he'll have it back on Wednesday. He'll go home. He'll stew on this for a while, knowing that in order for us to win this series, it's not the first to two, it's the first to four. We're going to need him to play better. And I believe Book will play better. So I don't think it was a benching either, Chris. But a playoff career low, I mean, we talk about like Devin Booker's been to like 55, 65 playoff game. It's only like it's what, 16th or 17th playoff game, 19th, if that many. 19th. So a career playoff low of 10. But I expect him to bounce back. I expect him to play a lot better on Wednesday than what he played last night.
Well, I would hope so.
But I expect them to play better as a team and do a better job of defending Giannis than what they did last night.
Okay. First of all, I would like to congratulate Chris Middleton on the job he did on Devin Booker in the first half because it was extraordinary. He got up into him. He was playing offense and hard defense, and he made it very difficult on Book to get the shots he usually gets. They were contested. He didn't get his usual open looks early where he can get in a flow and a rhythm.
Right.
He was having to fight and scratch and claw for all that he got. And he got off to a bad start, lipped a couple out, and it went from bad to worse. So what I thought Monty was doing late third quarter, he had him over on the bench and said, sit down beside me for a second. I thought he was just telling him, look, you don't have it tonight. We don't have it tonight. Just rest. Just take it easy. Just go sit down at the end of the bench and cool out, and we'll get him on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. Again, what I hark back to is what Shannon Sharpe has always told me on this show. He has constantly referred to game three of the 2015 finals, in which down the stretch of that game, even though Golden State was getting blown out by LeBron and the Cavaliers, those were the three greatest games I ever saw LeBron play. He carried the load. They'd already lost Kevin Love before game one. They lost Kyrie overtime game one at Golden State. And LeBron was just off the charts great. And yet, down the stretch of game three, Steve Kerr tried Iguodala on LeBron. And he saw two things. That Iguodala looked like he could score a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he was doing a nice job. Not a great job, but a nice job on LeBron. A credible job.
Right.
So he elevates game four, Iguodala into the starting lineup, and the rest is history.
Right.
Because Iguodala won the, I don't know how he did it, but he won finals MVP. Chris has always argued that Steph should have won that MVP.
Yes.
But whatever, it was a brilliant coaching maneuver by Steve Kerr. So
The point is, I thought that he would let Book play a little bit of the fourth quarter. The game was probably out of hand, but you never know with the three-point shot. And let him try to see a couple go down so that he would feel a little better, and it wouldn't be quite the story that's going to be, the bombshell story, what happened to Devin Booker over the next 3 days. Now, I also throw this out, and to Chris's point, nobody asked about this. I would say there is a chance that Devin Booker is hurt. Some way that we don't know. There's a chance he's hurt and that he shelved him just because he wasn't feeling right. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, all bets are clearly off, right, and Phoenix is going to be in some trouble. But we'll find that out over the next 48 hours.
Skip, if you're right, I mean, if it was, and maybe it's a minor thing and he can still play effectively through it, but if it was something that really debilitates him and he can't play nearly as effectively as usual, they're in trouble.
They're in trouble.
I mean, I agree. Just like, you know, I know you disagreed, but it's just like Milwaukee without Giannis. I mean, he's not Giannis.
No.
But still, it being without arguably your best player.
Right.
We know Chris is the leader, but arguably the best player is Devin. So, yeah, they would be in for a world of trouble. And the thing is with Chris Middleton, you guys mentioned it. Yes, at home he's better, but he's also just better, period, from games 3-7 in these series, or 3-6, however long the series goes. That's been his pattern. The first two games of every series, virtually, he has averaged about 17 points.
Yep.
From 3 onward, he's averaged like 27. So he's going to keep getting better. And even last night, he was good in the first half, good defensively, as you said, Skip, but good offensively in the first half, but didn't really have it going in the second half.
Right.
Holiday picked up.
Did.
So he is due for a big night. That's why, again, I'm leaning toward Milwaukee in game 4.
Okay, so, Chris, I want to give you a crack at this because Shannon and I have broken this down several times already on the show. The Scott Foster issue. How much do you think it plays in Chris's head, or last night, was it tangible? It played on the scoreboard because Scott Foster was calling so many early fouls that got Ayton in foul trouble, and then he obviously missed the one where Giannis just flat out ran over Jay Crowder and called a foul, Scott Foster did, on Jay Crowder. So the big picture question is, will Commissioner Silver feel pressure now to back up Scott Foster, to give him credibility by bringing him back in this series at some point, even though Chris Paul obviously has in the past gone to the league office to complain about the personal clashing that he's had with Scott Foster?
No, yeah, I know Scott. I like Scott. I'm going to say he's not doing anything untoward, but you know, Skip, some of these calls can go either way. And so on so many plays, there's contact that you just let go. So it is easy, you know, to call something, you know, that you'd let go in other instances, and next thing you know, a guy like DeAndre Ayton's out of the game. I think to your point about Chris is a thinker. And sometimes when you think, when you can overthink, right? And so knowing that your nemesis, if you want to call him that, is officiating the game, a guy that gets on your nerves so much that you've gone to the league office, as you said, about him, that could work on Chris. I do think he'll be back for at least a game in this series. I don't think we've seen the last of him. But, yeah, I think, Chris still played fairly well. He wasn't horrible. But it certainly can work on you a bit, especially when you see one of your other top players going out with these fouls.
Giannis ran over Jay Crowder. I don't care what that is. That's a foul. That's a charge. Jay Crowder was just as entitled to that spot that Giannis was trying to get to. He was entitled to that spot just as much as Giannis. And Giannis ran him over to get to the spot, and then Scott Foster called a blocking foul. And then he called another third foul. He called a third foul at the top of the key. He's at half court. Giannis is under the basket, and he called a foul. You got two guys, one on the side and one on the hoop. They don't call it. Scott Foster at the top of the key right before the half. He called a foul.
Yeah.
They did let the Cam Johnson dunk stick.
I thought that was the charge. But who called a blocking foul on that one?
Yeah,
he's like, well, you know what? I did call a blocking foul on the other one. I might as well go and, you know, let him offset.
So, Chris, do you remember what Chris Paul said after Game 3 of the Lakers series, in which they'd been blown out? The Lakers had shot 30 free throws to their 18 free throws, and Chris was not asked about Scott Foster, but he had, at that point, lost 11 straight playoff games officiated as the head referee by Scott Foster. And if we could see again what Chris said, volunteered to the media right after the game.
We got to try to, you know, limit their free throw attempts. You know, they're shooting a lot of free throws last game tonight. And, I mean, if I was a betting man, 11 games in a row. 11 games in a row. And we'll see what happens.
So he didn't name Scott Foster because he didn't need to.
Right.
He just said, if I was a betting man, I wouldn't bet on me if he's the referee. And you can't tell me after that early blown call by Scott Foster on Jay Crowder that Chris wasn't thinking, well,
here we go.
I'm 0-12, right? I'm done.
Yep.
It's something to watch for, because how do the games play out? If Phoenix wins game four, all right, and they're up 3-1. Is Foster officiating game five?
I don't know.
To extend this? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what the league does with him. But like I said, I think we'll see him once more.
I think Chris Paul will take anything except the deciding game. If it's a game seven, Chris Paul is like, Adam Silver, we got to talk about this.
And I've told both of you, Chris Paul is known to be friendly with Mark Davis, who's one of the best refs in this league. And he got Mark Davis in game six against the Clippers at Staples. Mm-hmm. And then game one at home against Milwaukee in the finals. Right. He got him both games. So now it's crucial to see who gets the call for game four or game five. To your point, Chris, I think the league office, going up to the commissioner, feels huge pressure, because once Scott Foster's been called out, you have to validate his credibility. You can't back off him. You got to send him again.
Right.
And Chris Paul will say, well, I'm doomed again.
I agree.
Yeah, I just like Sean Wright, Aaron Malone. Because Aaron Malone, you know, guys be frustrated, but he'll sit down and explain. They had him mic'd up, and he's talking to him. He's explaining to him. Well, you reached in. You grabbed him, and you left me no choice but to call it.
Yep.
Just explain it to the guys. You know, but Scott Foster, man, we don't pay good money. I ain't paying no money. But they don't pay good money to see you, Scott Foster, and all the other referees that be trying to get in on it. Mm. They don't pay money to see you.
Mm. And then, of course, Scott Foster screwed the Clippers in game two.
Man,
Chris Paul was out, and he screwed the Clippers. That was the worst blown call of the whole playoff run. Without that call, off Ayton, out of bounds at the end of that game, the Clippers would be winning the finals. Well, they would be.
No, y'all wouldn't win in the finals, Skip. How y'all going to win the finals without Kawhi?
Huh?
Without Kawhi? Where's Kawhi Leonard? Kawhi Leonard's out.
Kawhi's out.
He's out there on a boat with Legong.
No, yeah.
Did you just start saying goodbye? Or did you say that earlier in the show?
I tell you what, LeBron isn't. He wasn't in Vegas losing. Wasn't Chris. Me, you, Jenny, Skip, and the cameraman could beat Nigeria.
So that's what
We're going to go there right now. We have plenty more to talk about when it comes to that one later. And, yes, I appreciate that. I actually do feel confident in my playing ability, Shannon. Chris, thank you so much for your time. We got a lot more to get to with you later this week.
No mercy.